Get your Bible, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13, book of 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13, and I'm going to begin reading verse 14, chapter 13, verse 14. The Bible says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took him bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said, The king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou shouldest smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Israel till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Israel but thrice. Wow. And Elisha died. And they buried him in the hands of the Moabites, invaded the land at the coming of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man to the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. But Hazael, king of Assyria, oppressed Israel all the days of Joash. And the Lord was gracious unto them, and had compassion on them, and had respect in them, because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast he them from his presence as yet. So Hazael, king of Syria, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Joash, the son of Jehoaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoaz, his father, by war. 3 times did Joash beat him and recovered the cities of Israel. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege to have in our hands this wondrous word. We pray that you might help us as we make application this morning. Lord God, that you'd be glorified through all that's said and done. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. While we were in Costa Rica, I had a post on my own Facebook page from Brother Ken Bloom. And he said to me, I'd really love to see you folks again. And it really touched me. It had been 2 years that I'd gone out to see him. As most of you know, he has ALS. And I figured it was the last time I'd ever see him. And he was going downhill some more, and he got to the spot where he couldn't even get out of bed by himself. Remarkably, for 2 more years now, he has lived. He's in his 13th year. To my knowledge, nobody's ever been known to go past 12. I may be completely wrong there, but that's what I've understood. And so he sent me that post, and I was touched inside, and I thought, I got to go. Brother Blue's been a good friend for many, many years, and been a great help to me, and really helped me to be established in the very, very early years of my walk with Christ. And I came home and I told Joe, we need to go. And she loves to fly so much. She can't wait to get on the next airplane and go off someplace and spend a few days and come back. And so I didn't hit with a lot of popularity, because she really doesn't. But we decided during spring break time to go. I began to look for tickets. And you know, you got all these sites on the internet nowadays. You can go on, you can buy tickets through all these different outfits. And so the first time I looked, I thought, well, that's a pretty good price. And I'll just wait. And it might go down. I have this thing inside. If I spend more than I think I could have got it for somewhere else, I really get kind of upset inside. Some of you folks made that way. And I'll try it again later. And next time I tried it, it had gone up. And so I waited a week, and I found out that Tuesdays was considered at one time to be the best day. And that's when I had looked, and it wasn't getting any cheaper. And then I read that over the weekends they get even better nowadays, because when you buy your ticket, can make a difference. Actually, I found out that Thursday night at 2 o'clock in the morning on the 32nd of September is the best day to buy airplane tickets. So, anyways, I was looking, and wow, I found them cheaper. I was excited, so I punched all the keys, and I got to the spot, and when I put on there where you can actually purchase the tickets, and it goes to the site, and a little sign came up and said, this price, and this is the price now, double what I first read. I thought, no way. I'll try a little later. And a little later, it was still double plus a few more dollars. No way. This guy isn't paying double what he could have got before. And so I waited till Tuesday. And I thought, surely whoever told me over the weekend was better was nuts. It showed up better, but it didn't come through. And I'm thinking to myself, the time is getting short here, because you got to buy these things in advance. And so I got on and had a pretty decent price. But it was still about $50 a piece more than what I first saw. And I clicked, and I bought the tickets. And I'm still bummed out because I could have saved $100. But I was hesitant. In this case, because I'm a cheapskate. Always looking for something better. And I hesitated and lost. How many times in life have you hesitated and you wish you wouldn't have? How many times there's been an opportunity but you just didn't grab it? You hesitated and you wish you wouldn't have. I remember in college, I was deathly scared to get up in front of people and speak. And so what do? I take a speech class in college. Why did I take it? Because you have to. There's some idiot that runs colleges that says you've got to stand up and talk in front of other people. And so here I am. I'm in speech class. And matter of fact, the teacher I had was the sports announcer for one of the TV shows. And he was really a pretty neat guy. And he gets up and he says, who would like to give their speech first? I thought, boy, it'd be really nice to do that and get it over with. But I hesitated, and some girl, it's always girls, I'll do mine. And so she went up and she did a fantastic speech. And who wants to go second? And I hesitated, and then there was another girl. And by now I'm thinking, it'd been good if I'd went first, because after these two girls, when I get up, this is going to look really bad. This is going to be really bad. And so I just put it off, and class is over. I thought, didn't have to do that today. But guess what? There was another class 2 days later. And so we walk into the classroom, and sure enough, he does the same thing again. And sure enough, I do the same thing again. You know, I suffered through 4 classes before I finally gave my speech, because I had to, because I was last. And every time I was thinking, I wish I'd have got this over with. I wish I'd have got this over with. My mother tried to teach me when I was little that very factor. And she said, you know, Mom used to make some of these weirdest dishes. And eggplant. Who in the world eats eggplant? Eggs are from chickens, they're not plants. But she'd make eggplant. Some of you folks like that stuff. I'm sorry, you got things messed up in your life. But and so she put this on the table, and a rule in our house was you had to eat something of everything. You had to eat some. And it was just the way it was. And the only way you could get out of it is if you gagged hard enough that it actually made her sick to look at you. Honestly, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not preaching now, I'm telling the truth. That's the true thing. And so I'd have to eat that. And she would say to me, eat it first and get it out of the way. And she says, then you can cover up that taste with something that's really good. Because I'll tell you what, if you eat eggplant last, it's going to make the whole supper really bad. What was she teaching me? Don't hesitate. Hasten. So often in our lives, that's just exactly what we do. And that's the story we find right here of this man, Joash. He was the son of Jehoahaz, who was severely beaten in battle by the Syrians. You can read that in verse number 7. And they never really fully recovered from that defeat. And so when this Joash, who is also a contemporary of the Joash of Judah, takes his kingship, they are in a very difficult place. And that place is probably a sure defeat from the Syrians. And though Joash is not what we consider a godly man, he recognizes the hand of God upon Elisha. Elisha is probably now somewhere in his 70s, and we read there in that very first verse that he was fallen sick and he was going to die. This is one of the last acts of Elisha. And he goes to see him. And Elisha gives to Joash a very visual lesson in God's ability through the use of a bow and arrow. And he takes him over the window and he says, I want you to shoot that arrow. He evidently comes up from behind and puts his hand over upon the top of the other fellow's hand. If he's right hand, his left hand goes on the bow. And as he pulled the string back, Elisha's hand was on the string. And then he released and letting this guy know to release it. The arrow goes out the window and falls to the ground. And Elisha wants him to understand that when he goes to battle this time, he's going to win. Because God is going to be there. God is going to do that for you. And then Elisha says, take your arrows and smite them upon the ground. In other words, Elisha, do what I've just shown you to do. And so he took the arrow and he shoots 3 of them. And Elisha, as we read here, was wroth. He was mad. And what was he mad at? Because Joash was hesitant and he only shot 3. And he said if you had shot at least 5 or 6 of them, you would have utterly destroyed the Syrians. And you hesitated. You held back. I look back in the days of David. David comes to visit his brothers, and what does he find? He finds that there's a battle about to take place with anybody who would go down and fight against Goliath. Goliath, as we find from Scripture, was a man that was probably somewhere between 8 and 10 feet tall. He had a sword that weighed 20 pounds. This guy was huge. And nobody is willing to go down. And David says, I'll go. The Bible describes him as a young kid, basically a stripling. He's probably maybe 17, 18 years of age at this time. He's been sent by his dad to bring down some food for the brothers. And so they take him to King Saul, who should have been out there himself, but he didn't. And we find that he goes to Saul. Saul says, listen, I got some armor here. I want you to put this on. If you're willing to go fight, then you take this and go out and fight. And he puts it on. And of course, well, you know the story. It's too big for him. He's never used it before. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll take my sling. I have used this thing. And the Bible says that he goes down to the creek and he picks up, remember how many stones? Five. Do you ever wonder why five? It's interesting. For when you read the Bible and follow through and you've learned something, and what's interesting is that Goliath had four brothers. They would put a rock in for every one of them. Though they weren't out there. Did he know that? I don't know what he knew, but he put in five rocks. He was ready. And unlike David, who took up five stones and hustled out towards the enemy with only one thought, and that is conquer, Joash shoots three times and hesitates. He was not like Gideon. Gideon, who, what did he do? He had 32,000 men. God says, you got too many men. He says, tell everybody scared to go home. Boy, this will really thrill your soul. 22,000 go home. Two out of every three said, hey, I'm too scared to do this. Well, that's sort of comforting. But then at least he got rid of them. And now he's got 10,000. And God comes and says, Gideon, there's still too many. Why did God do that? Because God wanted him to understand that he was going to do the fighting. And that he was not going to give credit to his army. And so he says, I want you to go down to the creek. And everybody laughs like a dog. You take them with you. And the others who get down on their knees to drink, tell them to go home. He's left with 300. He gives each one a trumpet. He gives each one a bushel, or what we might call just an old piece of pottery or a vase of some sort. And they put a light on the inside of that so it cannot be seen and it's hid. And they surround the area of the Midianites. And when the guard is changing, Gideon shouts and all of them shout and they break out the trumpets and they take the pottery off of that light. And so there's 300 lights surrounding this place and the trumpets all begin to blare and they shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And you know the story. The enemy stampede itself and destroy themselves. God brings great victory. I want to ask a question this morning. How much do we lose of God's blessing because we're hesitant? How much of God's blessing do we lose because we are hesitant? I think sometimes we're hesitant about the sin that it is in our life. You know, every one of us, I know this, I know it to be true, you have a besetting sin. Everyone in this room, the Bible talks about us having besetting sin, and we ought to what? Cast that thing away. But we hesitate. Why do we hesitate? Well, it might be because we kind of like it. I don't know what it is that might be about it, but we hesitate that particular sin, and we become satisfied that it is there. And what do? We shoot three arrows rather than six, and we never get the victory over it. We have opportunities to pick up the Word of God and to study it and to gain from its beautiful pages. And yet, we're satisfied so often with milk and never get weaned off of the bottle. We shoot three arrows rather than six or seven or eight. We get reserved in these areas. We often get content with the faith that we have. And we talk about, well, the Bible says with the faith of a mustard seed we can move mountains. And we have just little faith. But we never plant the seed that grows into the giant tree. And we don't exercise the faith that is there. And we're hesitant to believe God. We're afraid that, well, if I do this, maybe God really won't do what He says. And what takes place? We shoot 3 arrows. We have little faith and we don't shoot 6 or 7. We do the same thing in our usefulness to reach other people for Christ. We might see one come, but we think, I don't think I can reach anymore. Matter of fact, those folks there, man, they're just too hard. And matter of fact, look at that guy. Look how hard he is. Look at that guy. He'll never listen. Got tattoos all over his arm. Rings in his ear. He's not interested in God. And we hesitate. And we don't get to see him come to Christ. Why? We fear. We hesitate. We wait. And what we shoot 3 arrows. And we never get the great victories that are there. We do the same thing often in our prayers. Unlike the importunate widow or Jacob who prayed all night, we plead, but we don't want to really overdo it with God. We shoot 3 arrows, and we should have shot 5 or 6. Why do we do that? What's the problem in our lives? Many times we claim it's a lack of ability, but it's God's arrow of deliverance, is it not? Oftentimes we say, well, I'm too old, or we forget then that Moses was 80, Caleb was 85 when they started their project. By the way, we don't retire, we ought to retread. Amen. You may retire from your job, but there's never retirement from God's work. It goes on and on and on. But we use our excuses, do we not? Sometimes we are too timid to become and we become independent of help, and we need an Elisha to hold our hand. And others many times believe they've done enough. Don't need to do anymore. Well, the main reasons are simply we don't believe the ability of God or have the desire that ought to be there. Laziness, of course, is that which sets in. And oftentimes, we're lazy for anything for God except to be entertained. A lot of reasons. What are the results of that? Well, I want you to think about these people right here. He said, if you'd done it 5 or 6 times, you would have utterly consumed them. They would be off of the map. You would not have any more wars with them. But we find something very serious happened. There were 3 more defeats, but then the Syrians took over. Following generations lose out because of our hesitancy. Many times there is joy in hell over a saint who grows idle, rather than getting busy for God. God is dishonored when you and I hesitate when the job is there. Possibilities are lost. There's one story that comes to my mind so often. If you've been here a while, you've heard this before, but forgive the repetition. I was on my way home from school, and I was about 7-8 blocks from home. I'm on a main street. I'm headed north and headed down a little bit of a hill. And on the sidewalk was a man walking. God put in my heart to stop. Now, I don't normally have that happen because people are walking down the sidewalk. If we were doing that, I'd still be parked somewhere, I guess. But God laid that in my heart. And I hesitated and I thought, Lord, He'll think I'm stupid. I'll scare him or whatever. And I came up with my excuses. I slowed the car down, but I kept on going. I went on down to the bottom of the street. There was a big cross street that goes there. Matter of fact, that cross street goes by the old Detroit Tigers Stadium. And I got down there, and on the other side was a filling station. I pulled in the filling station, made a U-turn, and came back. I got up to the place where I saw him. And I could see for the next 5 or 6 blocks, and he was gone. I will never know what might have taken place. He may have turned me down. He may have thought I was stupid. I don't know. But God had prompted my heart, and I hesitated. And the opportunity's gone. What's the result? Oftentimes, God lays in our hearts to do things, and we do not respond. I will say this at this moment. There's service after service after service. God has spoken to hearts in this room, and you will not respond. By the way, keep doing it, and the heart grows so cold, you can't. And we grow so indifferent, and that's one of the results. Oh, how we need to listen to God. When God speaks to our heart, when God shows us, when God directs us, and so often we are hesitant and we back away. God showed this man through Elisha, hey, I'm going to smite him. He even had Elisha, the man of God, put his arms around him that he might recognize God be with him. And then he says, I want you to shoot. I wonder how many he had in his quiver that day. I wonder. It was a rifle. I wonder how big that clip was. I wonder how many shells might have been there. And what did he do? He shot 3 times. You say that's commendable. Elisha was wroth. Elisha, the representative of God. And Elisha said, you should have shot at least 5 or 6. What's our problem too often? We are a people who put it off. We hesitate. There's a remedy to all of it. Just remember the Savior. Did he ever stop short? Did he ever hesitate? Can we ever do enough for him? We ought to be eternally grateful. We keep on keeping on for him. Amen. We keep on keeping on. I had the question asked one time. Where's a good quitting place? There is a place that we can quit at. It's about 6.5 feet long and about 3 foot wide. It's about 2 foot high, and when they put you in that thing and close the lid and put you in the ground, you're done. The job is over. Until then, it's not over. Say, but preacher, you don't know all the problems I face. People who are in great problems, who are trusting God, have a great testimony. Have a great testimony. Why? Because they keep on keeping on. We might slow down, but we don't quit until they close the lid. Amen? And we ought not hesitate. When we hesitate, we lose opportunities that are there. And God has so many things for us. Father, today, work in our hearts. Lord, no doubt in this room there are some who they need to be saved. God, they not hesitate today. They not put it off another time. Not wait till they think they need this or that or the other thing, but they realize that they're lost, they're undone, they need a Savior. Lord, we've not preached on it, but your Holy Spirit's worked in their heart. So, Lord, I pray they not hesitate. They might hasten your call. God, for us who know You as our Savior, so often we hesitate. Rather than be like David and grab the stones and take off, we wait along the sidelines like his brothers. Lord God, I pray You'll work on our hearts in this matter. There are things that You have for all of us. We ought never hesitate. And God, if we have, that we might confess it. And we might be ready for whatever it is You have. Work in our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would please stand to your feet this morning, if you would, and ask.